We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome, everyone, to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I've been excited about our sermon series for a little while, like way over a year. Isn't that true? Like we were pitching this idea way over a year, really excited about the opportunity for this new sermon series. Let's jump right into Scripture, right in the Word of God. This is our Scripture memory verse for this month, Exodus chapter 14, 13 through 14. Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. All right, you need to memorize this verse. You need to put it in your heart. It's got a lot to tell you, and we're going to be talking about it over the course of the next few weeks in our sermon series. Somebody tell me what the name of our sermon series is.
Jesus Verses.
Jesus Verses. All right, it's Jesus Verses. God will fight for you. Look at somebody and say, God will fight for you. That is news to some people because a lot of people think God is trying to fight you. No, God is trying to fight for you. Do you get that? Do you understand that about the Lord? I'm telling you. Sometimes in our struggle, we need a reminder that God is fighting for us, and really all we need to do is just chill out and be still. So look at somebody and say, chill out, dude. Chill out. Chill. Chillax. All right. All right. To help us remember that, we have this sermon series. It's entitled Jesus Verses. Jesus will fight for you, but just how does Jesus fight? How could he possibly fight your worst foes? The world needs to understand that the Lord's going to fight for you, but they don't understand how he fights for us. We're going to be seeing how Jesus stands toe-to-toe against one of the most terrifying villains ever thought of. Today, we're talking about Jesus versus Thanos. Thanos, everyone, it's a beautiful boy's name or girl's name. Thanos, Fluitt, anyone? The merciful Savior, Jesus Christ, versus the merciless, mad titan, Thanos. How do you think that fight might go? Just think about that in your mind. If they drew the comic book for that, if the Marvel Cinematic Universe spent, I don't know, $800 million and made a movie, how would that story go? What would it look like? So, you got to look at Thanos in our intro video. Sorry, everyone online, it's copyright, so you don't get to see the video. Go to Netflix and watch Infinity War. But you could tell from our video that Thanos is a bad guy. Are you all right with that? Do you understand that? Anybody in disagreement? No, Thanos is a bad guy. You might say Thanos doesn't realize he's a bad guy. I really would love to talk about that. I don't have time to talk about that today. Thanos doesn't know he's a bad guy, but he indeed is a bad guy. Say amen if you know Thanos is a bad guy. Amen. All right, good. All right. He hails from a moon of Saturn called Titan, and he is known as the Mad Titan. Recent measurements have Thanos to be 8 feet tall and nearly 1,000 pounds, half a ton, this guy is. Beyond being large, he also has super strength. He's got speed, he is a warrior and a half, and he's got advanced intelligence. This dude pretty much has it all. He is pretty much the supreme bad guy. He's like if you mix Lex Luthor with the Hulk or something. Bane, I couldn't think of a bad guy. Anyway, I'm looking at my comic book aficionado we have on staff over here, our care pastor, Marshall Blessing. Thanos, he's got it all. He is really tough. He's really bad. And Robert, my assistant pastor during this series, right? Yeah. All right. So this guy is huge. And if it's not enough for him to be huge and scary and really mean and really smart, he's also after power. And if you know anything about these movies, he's after a thing called what? It goes on his hand. It's called the
Gauntlet.
the gauntlet, the infinity gauntlet. The mad titan is never satisfied with his abilities. He's obsessed with gaining more power, and not just more power, all the power in the universe. He wants all the power in the universe. Sound like an enemy in your life? Sound anything like the devil? He is after all of your power. He wants to dominate you in every single way. Well, Thanos, he seeks to gain all this power through something called an infinity gauntlet. It's basically a metal glove that is jeweled with six infinity stones. All right, let's get theological. Everyone say infinity stones. He gets this power from these infinity stones, and I won't go through the whole backstory of what the infinity stones are, but he is able to harness power from each of these infinity stones, and then he gathers all the infinity stones, harnesses that power together, and by wearing this infinity gauntlet, then he becomes the strongest being within the comic book universe. I have read the comic book series, The Infinity Gauntlet, for sermon prep. It was a lot of fun. But this guy, I'm telling you, he stands against the whole army of the Avengers. He stands against every person in the X-Men all together at the same time. He just brushes Wolverine aside, and Wolverine's got this steel inside of him, but when Thanos gets a hold of him, he looks like a rubber band. And there's this one guy called the Cloak, and he's just a really cool good guy. He's got this cloak that he can just swallow anything in this cloak, and it goes to some otherworldly place, and he tries to swallow up Thanos, but Thanos, with that infinity gauntlet, he causes our favorite superhero, the Cloak, to just basically explode. And he goes person after person. He goes up to Captain America, and he just swats. It's not even a punch. It's like he just swats. Just do this. Don't hit somebody, but just do this. He does this to Captain America's vibranium shield, and it shatters because of this awesome power of the, what is it called? The Infinity Gauntlet. All right, in Greek, Infinity Gauntlet. No, we're just kidding. All right, this is comic book stuff. I promise you we've got a spiritual implementation that we're going to get in a second. But right now, what we're talking about is Jesus versus Thanos. Jesus, the God of the Bible, is a merciful God. Can you say merciful God? He is full of mercy. Amen. He's full of kindness, compassion, and love. Sometimes we don't understand this word mercy. It is compassion toward an offender or enemy instead of using power to punish or harm. Does God have mercy towards you? Does God have the power to punish or harm you? Have you ever been the enemy of God? Have you ever disobeyed God? Have you ever hurt part of his creation? Yes, we don't realize it, but sometimes when we're driving up and down I-75 and we curse at somebody, we're cursing at his creation. When we have bitterness against somebody and we like let them have it, you're not just getting angry at somebody, you are becoming the enemy of God, because God loves that person, and for you to hurt that person makes you an enemy of God. And so you're an enemy of God. He's got the power to punish or harm you, but instead of doing that, he gives you what? He gives you compassion. That is what the word mercy means. It means compassion. It means love. It means kindness. Can you say that with me? Compassion, love, and kindness. You've heard that word all your life. Do you really understand that God is kind towards you? That God is loving towards you? And he has compassion towards you. I think a lot of people have the wrong idea about the God of the Bible. Can you say amen on that one? Come on. I know I'm right on this one. A lot of people have the wrong idea about the God of the Bible. In fact, some people think the God of this universe is more like Thanos. Some people won't come to church today because they think, who needs a God like the God of the Bible? But it's because they don't understand him. They're getting the God of the Bible confused with someone like Thanos. Remember, Thanos said that he would use the power of all six infinity stones. We saw it in our video. If I take the power of all six infinity stones, I will use that power to snap my fingers and destroy half of the universe. And what does he call that? He said, I call that, and pauses. No. I call that mercy. He called that mercy. I want you to think about that. A lot of people think that is God. That God has all this power and he's going to just look at us and go, no, y'all need to go to hell and y'all need to go to heaven. Sorry, you sat on the wrong side of the church today. Y'all are going to hell and y'all are going to heaven. He snaps his fingers and it happens. And those people end up in heaven. Those people end up in hell. And they think that that's God. He just decided one day, I didn't like what you were wearing and you're going to hell. People think this about the God of the Bible. They are confusing Thanos with the God of mercy. He called it mercy. That's what Thanos called it. I'm going to destroy half the world, and I call that mercy. Jesus versus Thanos is really a battle between merciful God and merciless God. Can you say that? Merciful God and merciless God. Thanos thinks that destroying half the universe is merciful. He suggests that because it is random and dispassionate, remember he said that? Random and dispassionate, that it is suddenly merciful. That is mercy to do it randomly and dispassionately. After wiping away life from the universe, he will then sit down and he will watch the sunset on a grateful universe. That is Thanos' end game, right? That's his end game right there. Thanos, the merciless God, seeks to bring, what would you say? Death. Is there any other word than that? Death. His answer for the problems of this world is dispassionate destruction and death, to just snap them all away. Although Thanos has great power in his hand, he never seeks to bring anything but death. Spoiler alert, I've seen the movies. He has this power in his hand, but never seeks to create something. He never seeks to bring peace. He never stands as the power on the earth and says, listen, guys, I've got power to do anything. What do we need to do to fix this? No, that's not in his thought pattern. It's not his end game, because his end game is to be merciless. His end game is to bring destruction. You need to know that the God of the Bible is nothing like this. If you think, well, he's kind of like this, I want to tell you today, he's nothing like that. Not even close. Not in any way is the God of the Bible like that. You need to know that Jesus, the Savior, is not seeking to wipe out life, but to give life. To give life that is so full, it is abundant, and it is spilling over. He wants to put so much life in you that it actually spills over on other people, and they receive that life. That his mercy hits you and then flows through you. That's what he wants to do. That's the God of the Bible. You need to know that the God of the universe loves the universe, and he shows great kindness. You need to know that the God of Scripture does see the problems of the world, but his response to the problems of the world is mercy, compassion, forgiveness, and love. He is merciful. Somebody shout, he is merciful. But let's get real. Let's push. You present an idea. It's good to push against ideas. Here's the idea that I'm sure somebody watching, listening, or maybe in the room is already thinking. Is God always merciful? Look at somebody, say that. Is God always merciful? Is God always merciful? Well, wait a moment. Was the flood merciful? I mean, how many people died in the flood? Well, you would be quicker to count the number of people that survived the flood, right? Eight people and some animals, a portion of the animals, right? Yeah. Well, what about a place called hell? Is that really God's mercy? All right, so we'll tackle those two things. So those big enough? Right. Is that big enough can of worms? Now, we're not going to take long. We're going to move quickly. But I'm telling you, if God's merciful, he's not just merciful sometimes. Right. Yeah. The Bible says God is love. He can't be love one moment and hate the other. No. If that is the case, then God isn't love. He just shows love. But it says he personifies love. He is love. I want to tell you today that God is mercy, and he is always merciful. We're going to go there. We're going to show it to you. All right. We could spend a lot of time on this question. It is a fair question. I'm going to give you a brief answer today. If you want to talk more about it, we do have an anonymous scripture line, anonymous text line. You can text in to us, or let's just have coffee. We can talk about it. I love it. I want to tell you that God is both merciful and just. This is important. Here's the scripture that tells us, Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice, say justice,
justice,
are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth, say mercy,
mercy,
go before you. That's what it says. So God, his foundation is justice, but what goes before his face is mercy and truth. Do you see that? Psalm 89:14. I want to tell you that God is both merciful and just at the same time. He doesn't let up on either of those issues. God is kind and compassionate, but he also judges. And he judges fairly. And what a man reaps, he does also, what a man sows, he does also reap. All right? These things all carry out to be true. If we do wrong, then we will be judged by God. Galatians 6:7, it says that what a man sows, he will also reap. God did judge the world through the flood, didn't he?
Yes.
He did. The question isn't, is God going to judge the world? The scripture is very clear about that. He has judged the world, and he will judge the world. He judged the world through the flood. God has prepared a place of judgment called hell, and the world will be judged through a place called hell. You follow me? This occurred because God is just. If God was not just, there would be no judgment. You follow me? But God is just. But while Thanos is all judgment, God never ceases to be merciful. God, that's some news that Christians need to hear. I've talked to Christians just online this week, just pushing around on ideas, going to Quora and talking to Christians that didn't believe this. I'm telling you, there are Christians that need to hear this. God isn't merciful just sometimes. He's not just merciful up to a point. He is always merciful. Always, always merciful, yet always just. I want to give you three ways God is merciful, even in judgment. Let's hit them very quickly. He creates a way of escape. Say it. He creates a way of escape. That's number one. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. You see that? That very last sentence, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God creates a way of escape. God mercifully provides a way of escape. A way of escape from what? Your wrongdoing. What you did wrong. Even though you did something stupid, even though you said something stupid, even though you hung out with the wrong crowd, even though you were doing the drugs, even though you said the hateful thing, God creates a way of escape for you. He creates a way of escape. Was there a way of escape from the flood? What was that way of escape? The ark. Duh, right? Is there a way of escape from hell? Yes. What is that? It's Jesus. It's the gospel. It's the cross. It's repentance. It's the blood of Jesus. Yes. Does God create a way of escape?
Yes.
He created a way of escape in both of those judgments. One way that God is merciful, even in judgment, is that he always provides a way of escape. Number two, he gives space for grace. Can you say that? He gives space for grace, all right? In his letter to the churches in Revelation, God speaks of a most evil person. If you have a list of evil people in the Bible, this one's way up there. I suggest you never name your little girl Jezebel. Please do not name your little girl Thanos before you name her Jezebel. Not even kidding. All right, kind of. All right. A person worthy of great judgment is Jezebel. Worthy of it. But here is what your merciful God says about this most evil woman. Revelations 2 and 21. Get a load of this. I have given her, speaking of Jezebel, time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. God gave her what? I have given her
time.
He's given her space for grace. Do you see that? He has given every person time to repent. He's given every person to let even their conscience that's inside of them say, I've been doing wrong. I need to change my ways. What is that? That is space for grace. God provides a way of escape, and then he always provides a space for grace. Do you see that? Has God mercifully provided us time to repent?
Yes.
Did God allow space to repent before the flood? Do you realize that God announced the flood would come 969 years before it would actually come? There was a baby named Methuselah. And God says in the naming of this baby, the baby's name might be as worse as Jezebel here. The baby's name means this: when I die, the flood comes. So what do you think happens when Methuselah dies? The flood comes. So guess how old Methuselah lived? Longer than anyone else that has ever lived. 969 years. Even when he says judgment is on his way, he made sure that baby lived, that baby breathed, that baby stayed alive. Why? To give the whole world space for grace. Do you follow me? Clap your hands for it. It's good. Praise you, Lord. So now, is God allowing space to repent before the final countdown, the final end game, the great white throne judgment seat? Yes, he is. How many years ago did Jesus go to the cross? Nearly 2,000 years ago. He provides a way of escape, and he gives space for grace. I'm going to give you the third thing. God mercifully corrects us. It is out of mercy that he corrects us. Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 6. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone who he accepts as his son. What is he saying? He gives discipline. He gives correction. He actually gives a rebuke, but it's not out of hatefulness. He doesn't snap them into oblivion. He gives them correction out of love. The reason you spank the child when they're reaching out to touch the hot stove is so that they never touch the hot stove. Before they ever touch the hot stove, you smack their hand so they feel the pain, and you say, baby, if you thought that was painful, don't ever touch the stove. That is what discipline is. It is for the betterment of that child. It's not because you're an angry control freak that doesn't want your stove to ever be touched with fingerprints. No, it's because you know that baby will be harmed. And it is because of that discipline, it's because of that rebuke that you actually love that child. God corrects us in loving, merciful ways. He corrects us not as an attempt to destroy us, but to lead us as a parent lovingly leads a child. If God didn't correct you, he would just let you walk right into hell. If God did not correct you, he would let you walk further into judgment. But no, one of the greatest things is that he has big signs. He puts people in front of you. He puts the word right out in front of you. When you lay your head down at night, he puts words inside your head that you need to change, that you've got to turn around, that you've got to pray, that you've got to stop. What is that? It's his correction. It's his correction. His mercy is correction. Those are three ways right there that the Lord is always showing mercy, even in judgment. Yes. Have you ever been away from his mercy? No. What Thanos called mercy was actually merciless judgment. Thanos, does he offer a way of escape?
No.
No, he snaps and it's dispassionate. You have no choice. You could be trying to do good in the universe. Doesn't matter. He snapped you right away. Number two, Thanos gave no space for grace or repentance.
Not at all.
As soon as he has that gauntlet, he snaps. Three, Thanos offered no merciful correction. The end result of a powerful yet merciless God is a lot of death. But here is how a merciful God uses power. Let's hit some scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 through 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Verse 6 through 7, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness, in the mercy to us in Christ Jesus. Do you see his love?
Yes.
Do you see his mercy?
Yes.
Do you see his compassion?
Yes.
Do you deserve any of that?
No,
but he who has all this power is giving you mercy.
Amen.
Don't you love how God uses power?
Jesus.
Psalm chapter 136, 1 through 4. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever.
Yeah.
Chapter 136 of Psalms, it goes on. And after every observation of truth, this other truth rings out, that his mercy endures forever. His loving kindness endures forever. I want to tell you today, why did you wake up this morning? Because his love endures forever. You looked in your kitchen and there was something to eat. Why did that happen? It happened because his love endures forever. Can somebody preach with me today? You are able to put gas in your car. Why? Because his love endures forever. You called on your best friend today and they were there. Why? Because his love endures forever. His mercy and grace is available to you right now. Why? Because his love endures forever. You have felt God's presence today. Why? It's because his love endures forever. I want to tell you that wherever you walk in life, you need to declare the truth. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His mercy is available right now, and you need to declare it wherever you are. My goodness. The next argument you get into, instead of declaring your side of the argument, why don't you declare the mercy and love and kindness of God right in the middle of it? That was free. That was for somebody right there. Felt it. You need to start declaring that his love is enduring.
Amen.
Some of you are going through hardship. You need to look the hardship right in the eye and say, his love is enduring. His love is enduring. It endures in this moment and past this moment. Thanos can snap all he wants. God's mercy endures forever. I want to tell you that mercy is God's end game. Look at somebody, say, mercy is God's end game.
Mercy is God's end game.
Compare how Thanos would save the world with how Jesus saves the world. Thanos brings death, but Jesus brings life. He brings peace. He brings joy. He brings love. He brings healing. He brings whatever you need. He embodies it. Thanos exacts merciless judgment that ends up destroying the world. But Jesus, he came not to condemn the world, but that through him the world would be saved. That's what John 3:17 says. Thanos can only imagine saving half the world. At the best, he can only imagine saving half the world. But how much of the world did Jesus Christ come to save? But God so loved the world. How much of the world? All of the world. The entire world. And everybody in it. everyone that has ever lived. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My goodness, Thanos and Jesus are completely different. How Thanos saves the world is nothing compared to the beauty of the gospel, how Jesus Christ saves the world. Thanos came to snap judgment. But God's word declares in James chapter 2, verse 13, that mercy triumphs over judgment. All right. Say that with me. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What does that tell you? Who's going to win this battle?
Jesus.
It's Jesus Christ. Watch what God does. God, in all his mercy, came to a merciless world. God, in all of his mercy, was born a man and exposed himself to merciless people. God, in all of his mercy, never stepping out of his mercy, was taken against his will, was lied about, sentenced to a merciless death. He was beaten. Without mercy, he died the most merciless death. Someone say amen if it's true.
Amen.
Do you believe that? That this God of mercy wrapped himself in flesh, put himself in the hands of merciless people like us. Nails in his hands.
Jesus.
Nails in his feet. A crown of thorns on his head. And then in the middle of this conflict, this Jesus cried out for you to receive what? Forgiveness.
Yes.
Mercy.
Amen.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thanos, he wears the powerful infinity gauntlet on his hand, but he will lose every time to the one who wears nail prints in his hands. That's the hand of our merciful Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to get that picture. That's how we think struggle. That's how we think power works in this life. We got to put on power. No, the real source of power is that the God of all power put himself in a powerless situation so he could look you in the eye and say, I do love you, and I do forgive you, and I do accept you.
Amen.
That's mercy, y'all. That's mercy. That's mercy. My goodness, nobody, comic book characters haven't come up with a character that powerful.
No.
Never could. Merciless judgment took its best shot at Jesus, but 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave to show us that a merciful God triumphs over a judgmental, merciless one. We're going to be coming to a close very soon. There's a merciful God in this house, and I want you to get ready to talk to him. But if you allow me to be a little theologically nerdy and comic book nerdy all at the same time, can you allow me to do that a little bit? I mean, you haven't stopped me yet. Jesus is about to make quick work of Thanos, and we'll be talking to God real soon. But I want to talk to you about infinity stones. How many infinity stones are there?
Six.
Six. The number of man right there. Six infinity stones. The infinity gauntlet is empowered by these six infinity stones. With all those stones together, Thanos could snap away all the life in the universe. I want you to know that Jesus has power over all of the infinity stones. I don't have a scripture that says those exact words, but it's true nonetheless. You listen to me. The first stone is the space stone. Say the space stone.
Space.
I want to tell you that Jesus Christ created all things. All things were created by him and for him. The nearest thing to you and the furthest thing from you on the other side of the known universe was created by him. If that's not impressive enough, he actually fills the distance between where you are and the furthest point in the known universe. Wherever that point is, he goes beyond it. He fills all the space in the universe. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere at once. You can't find a space that he is not present. He defeats the space stone used for teleportation. In fact, in your Bible, Jesus teleports people. He teleports himself. Good try, space stone. Nice trick. Mind stone. Somebody say mind stone. Can I tell you that God knows everything?
Yes.
He's omniscient. You haven't come up with something that he doesn't know. In the beginning was the Word. The word for word is logos. It means the thought, the mind, the plan of God. The mind of God existed before all of creation. In the beginning, he thought, and then he spoke. He is the mind of all minds. The reason you are existing today is because his great mind thought of you. Ephesians 1:11 says, God works out everything according to the counsel of his own will and plan. That's his mind. Therefore, as Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you that was also in Jesus Christ. Nice trick, mind stone. Power. The power stone. You want to know about power, do you, Thanos? You want to know about it? Well, Jesus Christ said himself, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus Christ has all power. There is power in his word, and there is power in his name, and there is power in his love. There is power in his gospel. There is power when you praise him. You experience power. There is power in his spirit when it comes to live inside of you. He told us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall have power after his spirit infills you. You want to know power? You don't know power until you know Jesus' power. There's another stone. It's called the reality stone. Somebody said reality stone. Do you know this, that Jesus Christ can change any reality? Is there a witness in here? I can take you to a place where I thought my reality was this, and I was worried about it, and I was shameful about it, and I was fearful about it, but I turned it over to Jesus Christ, and he gave me a brand new reality. He walks on water. He walks through walls. He calms storms. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. Yeah. Jesus creates a brand new reality. He creates a new heart for you. He changes how you see other people. He can even change how they see you. He changes victims and they become victors. He changes sinners and they become saints. He simply speaks and it becomes reality. Reality stone. Stan Lee, it was a cool idea, but Jesus Christ beat you to it. R.I.P. Stan Lee, I love you. Thanos was really passionate about the time stone. Thanos, you're messing with the wrong guy. Because Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first letter of the alphabet, A. He is the last letter of the alphabet, Z. He is the beginning, and he is the end. He actually stands outside of time. If time is this microphone, Jesus holds the microphone and uses the microphone as he will. He can walk into the microphone, into time, and he stands outside of time and holds time in his hand. The Bible says Jesus is before all things. He is the author. The book exists because an author decides, I'm going to sit down and create a book. He is the author. And he is, what's the next word? The finisher of the book. The book is finished because somebody puts a dot at the end and says, the end. And it exists. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of what?
Our faith.
He started it. He's ended it. Now, you listen to me, because some of you are in the middle of your faith struggle. You're standing in time. But the one who stands out of time is the one who's already started it. He's already finished it. You're walking in time, but the one outside of time has already finished you. He's already solved your problem. He's already redeemed you. He's done all those things. My goodness. Our God is eternal, and he has actually set eternity within the heart of man. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that he has placed eternity where? Right here. Point to your heart. Right there. You have eternal things going on in your heart right now. He has given us an eternal soul that we can live with him forever. Amen. With the power of the time stone, Thanos could actually reverse time so he can make something not happen. Don't you know that Jesus Christ, it says that you are justified. It's like he removes that it ever happened. It's like he turns it back, and it's just if you'd never sin. Justified, never sin. He turns it all back, and he casts all that doubt, he casts all that guilt, he casts all that failure into the sea of his forgetfulness. My goodness, nice try, Thanos. But Jesus Christ holds all time within his hands. Final stone. Anybody know what it is? It's the soul stone. The soul stone. Everybody say soul stone. Oh my goodness, this one's just too easy. This one just had to be preached about, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, the soul stone. Has Jesus Christ saved your soul?
Yes.
Do you know that Jesus Christ, he's not impressed with houses. He's not impressed with cars. When he came to earth, he didn't come for any of that stuff. He's not impressed with celebrity. You know what he loves more than anything else? He loves that part of you that's eternal. He loves your soul. And he wants to redeem you. You're so focused on like your outward appearance. You're focused on the outside stuff. He's looking right through all that stuff, and he sees who you really are, and it's your soul. Jesus Christ, he came to save your soul. He came to hold your soul in the palm of his hand. I'm redeemed, and my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. He's actually written down my name in his book. My soul is in his hands, and there is no power that can remove me from his hands. There is not an infinity gauntlet, any power you talk about, that can rip me from his hands. John chapter 10, 28 through 30. I give them eternal life.
Yeah.
Is that past tense? Present tense. I give them, not 10 years from now, not when you finally get your act together. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall, now this is future tense. He gives you eternal life, and from that point on, your future is you shall never perish.
Yes.
Oh, what does it say? No one will snatch them out of his hand. If your soul is in the hands of the Lord Jesus, there is not a power on earth that can remove you from his hands. His hands are stronger than any infinity gauntlet. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. The Father and the Lord Jesus Christ have you in the palm of their hand. Your soul is anchored.
Amen.
Your soul is in the hands of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Thanos, you lose.
You lose.
You lose, dude. It doesn't matter what weapon you have, Thanos. The Bible says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. Jesus the merciful wins. He has all power in his hand. Jesus wins, and whatever enemy you're facing today, Jesus wins.
Amen.
Whatever weapon you're being threatened with, Jesus wins. Let him win in your heart today. Can we take a few moments and declare that Jesus Christ wins? I want to challenge you to take a step from your seat, and however you feel comfortable, I want you to come talk to God. You might be we're all in need of mercy, so call out for mercy. But we're all in need of thanking him for mercy. Maybe you're needing that way of escape today. He's provided a way of escape. Maybe you're in that space for grace. You need to repent today. Maybe you're in the middle of correction and you've got it all wrong, that God is being mean to you. God's not being mean to you. He's being kind to you. Will you walk into his kindness? These altars are open right now. If you want special prayer, I want you to come around the first 2 feet of this altar, this stage, and we will pray with you. The mercy of God is in this house. The love of God is in this house. The kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this house. Come on, I'm going to pray for us. When I open my eyes, I want to see people talking to God, reaching out to him in this place. Father, I thank you for your mercy. Lord, the enemy of our souls is not merciful, God. Lord, there have been times we are not merciful and we have not been kind. But God, your mercy, your love endures forever, God. I want you to flow in this place. Lord, I want your presence in this house. Lord, I want people, Lord, to be drawn to you, to feel your tender mercies, to feel your loving kindness, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, if someone needs to repent today, Lord, let them come to you and repent, Father, in Jesus' name. Let them turn away from all their sins. Let them take advantage of that way of escape that you've brought them, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, somebody that heard this message today has struggled with the mercy and the justice of God. Lord, let them let loose of that. Let them realize that you are so worth loving, God, that you are so worth trusting, and let them come to you and let them surrender all that they've got right now at the feet of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's reach out to the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. If you want special prayer, I want to pray with you. God in his mercy is going to meet you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I thought by now.